In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Starting in the Catholic Church and then spreading through the Episcopal Church and to other Protestant churches is a three-day weekend renewal called Curcio en Cristianidad, short course in Christianity. And it begins, this 3.5 days, begins with a teaching by offering the concept that we live by an ideal. And our ideal is a combination of ideas we've formed through our life experience, of hopes and preferences that inspire us and they motivate us. It's important for us to take some time to think about what ideal drives us, because we all have one, whether we intentionally decide on one or whether it just sort of comes together through our life experience. The fact is that our ideal shapes our whole life. It makes us who we are. I very clearly remember when I was just a kid, I was still in high school, when I formed my first thought about, you know, what is my ideal? Well, I didn't use that word. I didn't know that concept at that time. But what is the big thing I want to accomplish in my life that makes my life worth living? I mean, what is it that I contribute to this world by taking up space in it? And at that high school age, I wanted to find a girl in my life whose life I would make better because I was in her life, and that girl's life would be better because I was in her life. That's what I wanted to achieve. And it was years later that God led me to Ruthie, who I've now been married to for 52 years. And we were married, and we had two wonderful daughters. And I found a need to expand my ideal. I didn't give up on the first one. It was still very much in place, still is. But I needed to expand it. I wanted to be the best parent any parent has ever been. I wanted to be a great parent to my daughters. And so that expanded this ideal that motivated my life. And it was only a few years after that that I found that I needed to expand my ideal again. And it didn't replace the other goals of my life or ideals, but it incorporated them. I learned about having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And my ideal became one of living for God in the way I do all the other things. So how do I live for God in the way that I honor my marriage to my spouse? How do I live for God in the way I interact with my kids as they grow older and become independent and have their own families? How do I honor God in the way I spend my spare time and the hobbies I have and the activities that I do in the community and the things that I do at work and in any relationships I'm in? It really becomes the driving force for everything, living for God. And it's not something I ever expect to fully accomplish until I'm with God face to face. And so it's an ideal worth living for, and it's actually the one that Curcio teaches. Jesus lost his temper when he walked into the temple courts in Jerusalem. That was a magnificent structure and was understood to be, for the Jews, the center point of God's presence in earth. There was no holier place, no more sacred place on the planet earth than the grounds where the temple is located. And in the Holy of Holies, in the middle of that temple, is the place where heaven and earth touch and where God's presence fills that space. And so it was the absolute expectation of every Jew spread out through the world, throughout the diaspora, that every 2 or 3 years they would come to Jerusalem in order to participate in a holy day, And so the setting for the gospel lesson today was the feast day of Pentecost, or of unleavened bread. And so there were people from all over the world who had come into Jerusalem. And of course, they couldn't bring their goats and their sheep with them for sacrifices in the temple, so they had to buy them locally. So there were people selling animals that would be sacrificed in the temple for worship. Even the people who lived in Jerusalem, their animal that they intended to sacrifice had to be inspected by one of the temple priests to make sure there was no blemish of any kind. Because if there was, it was an unacceptable sacrifice. And so they too had to buy animals that were already shown to be pure, who could be sacrificed. And of course, the way that transaction was handled was by money. But the coin of the day had the image of the emperor on it. They weren't allowed to use coins in the temple grounds that had an image of an animal or a human being on it. And so they had to exchange the money of the day for temple currency that did not have any of those images. So there had to be money changers. The issue that Jesus had was that there had been there had been a method of coming up with the exchange rates of currency that were very unfair to these travelers from around the world. And it upset him that there was all this merchandising and selling and bargaining going on the temple grounds. And even more than that, he had an issue that he needed to confront the system itself. And the system was institutional religion. He was attacking the institutional church's system that had become so ingrained in its own rules and its own practices that it didn't even have room anymore to recognize a fresh revelation from God. And so the point to all this is that Jesus saw that the ideal of the institutional church was to maintain itself. That was the ideal. Jesus' disciples recalled the reading from Psalm 69, "Zeal for your house will consume me." This was King David, the writer, the author of the Psalms, saying that for him, the zeal that he held for the house of God, for the presence of God, consumed him. It was his ideal. And the disciples were saying that Jesus was exhibiting that same zeal for the presence of God. Jesus' ideal was to live for God. John's Gospel said that Jesus became the new presence of God on earth. John was explaining in this Gospel that with the coming of Jesus to live with us and to die and to be resurrected means that he had become the temple of God's presence. He said the temple he had spoken of was his body. Paul said Jews demanded signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified. Through yours and my faith in Jesus, Jesus offers his spirit to dwell in us. So it's no longer the temple that is the presence of God and we have to go to Jerusalem. It's no longer Jesus because he's resurrected. He's sitting at the right hand of God, but Jesus' spirit lives in us. We are the temple of God's presence. You and I are the temple of God's presence. That's what our faith proclaims. That's what we believe. That's what we believe happens in baptism. We receive Jesus' Spirit. We receive the Spirit of God living in us. 1 Peter says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" You and I are God's temple. And God's Spirit dwells in your midst. through our baptism and our conscious decision to invite him to be the master of our life, you and I are now the temple of God's presence. So how does this story of Jesus' zeal for God's house, Jesus' zeal of living for God, how does it affect our practices as a faith community, St. Luke's? And it's actually presented before us every Sunday. Don't know if you noticed it, so I want to have us read it together. If you can take out your bulletin, let me get mine. So the ideal that we set before this community is on the inside of the bulletin on the left-hand page at the top, our mission statement. Could we read it together, please? St. Luke's mission is to provide a welcoming and inclusive environment dedicated to spiritual growth and renewal. We proclaim God's good news and share God's love through Jesus Christ with everyone in our diverse community. So that is our ideal. As a community, that's what motivates us and inspires us to accomplish that. How might this story of Jesus' frustration with the temple market challenge you and me personally? How do we personally develop our own mission statement? Well, we call it by a different label. We don't call it a mission statement for ourselves. We call it a rule of life. A rule of life. So going back to my thoughts about Curcio, we talk all about a rule of life. There is even a little card that we hand out to people on the Curcio weekend. And it's a very basic formula for how we go about building that rule of life that helps us set up this ideal of living for God. It's piety, study, action. Piety, study, action. So it's saying for each of us, what we have on the little card here is a little check sheet so that we can change this as we experience something that has more meaning than another or something that gets boring to us and repetitious, so we have to change it. In piety, it's worshiping together. It's praying together. It's spending time in sacred places, walking a labyrinth, or going to a retreat center. It's doing those kinds of acts of piety. Study is to read the Bible and to read inspirational books and to attend Bible studies and to learn about our faith. And action is to take our faith out into the streets and into our family and into our workplace and into our workplace and to make clear to people that our motivation is our interest in living for God. And so I encourage you to think about what ideal you live by. Spend some time this week just thinking about if you've let it just sort of evolve or if you've intentionally defined an ideal that you live your life by. I pray that this community, this faith community, is a place that produces a zeal to live for God. Amen.